Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Our reading this morning is Jonah chapter 3, which is verses 1 through to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Amen.
Alrighty, thank you, team. As we open the Word of God, let's join together. Let's pray. Our Lord God, in this moment we still ourselves before you. We bring who we are before who you are. And we ask for you to speak. For we are listening, and you are good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So there's a critical word for the message this morning, and it's a word that's a hard word. It's a word that's not a popular word. It's a word that sometimes would turn us off a faith, or particularly the Christian faith. It's a word that we may see on signs as we walk through a mall. And when we see the person holding the sign, and there might be someone preaching along with it, we think, oh, I think I might just get back in the car. Not today. Not today, buddy. I just don't need that. Especially when you're a Christian, because you're like, I thought we're on the same team. Like, why are you angry at me? And that word, which some of you may have guessed, is the word repent or repentance. It's a hard word because we think of those moments. And when we hear the word repentance, we think, clean up your act. You're dirty, you're sinful. We think of maybe how that word may have been used against us. We think about that person in the mall that has their list of sins, and you think, oh, there's a few missing from that list, isn't there? What do you struggle with, buddy? Is that on there? Those are just the things that you don't struggle with. And so often when we hear the word repentance, it's through this lens of judgment and moralism, and it's so sad because many things in life we then flip to the other side so we don't use that word. But it's such an incredibly powerful and beautiful word in the Christian faith. So instead of just throwing it out, instead of just getting back in the car and driving off, my invitation for us this morning is to enter into it and maybe find that there's a beauty and a truth in this word, repentance. The image for me of repentance is quite simply, if you're lost, recognizing that you're lost and going the right way. That's the biblical image of repentance, is if you're driving somewhere and you go, you know what, I have actually no idea where I am, you turn around, you ask for help, you say, this is not where I want to be. That is the biblical image of repentance. I repent in the car often. In the first service, they got a lot of laughs. I was like, not for the reason some of you are thinking. Excuse me. Because I'll be driving and Siri or Google or someone will be saying, turn right. And I'll be like, yes, must turn right. And I'll keep on going straight. And I'll think, oh, bother. And I try not to look at anyone else in the car because it's like, and then Google's like, do a U-turn. Okay, yes, Google, I will do a U-turn. And I repent, because I say, I'm not going where I want to go. And I could be stubborn. I could pretend this is an alternative route. This is actually the way I wanted to go. And then Google's like, the trip's now taking you 20 minutes. 25, okay, all right. At what point do we just say, no, this is not actually where I want to go? And so to repent is to turn from a life that's ruled by ourselves to a life that's ruled by God. To recognize that maybe we don't actually know where we are and that there is someone who does know and actually wants to guide us to where we could be. So if this is your first week, we're in the third chapter of the book of Jonah, and Jonah is this incredible prophet in the Bible. This book is so action-packed, it's incredible, it speaks to us so deeply. I dare say many of us have changed our life because of hearing messages on Jonah, because we've realized, yeah, actually, I've been running, and I need to stop running. And it's satire, it's humor. We should read this story and go, that's a bit ridiculous, yeah. That there's this prophet, this man of God, who God actually speaks to time and time again, but yet everyone around Jonah repents. That the word of God comes to Jonah and says, go to Nineveh, and he goes, no. Thank you, but no. And instead of going walking to Nineveh, he gets in a boat and he falls asleep in the bottom of the boat. He thinks, I'm going to run from the presence of God. Get me out of here. I'm not going to Nineveh. I will go as far away as I can. And what wakes Jonah up is that there is a huge storm. God sends a storm to rock the boat, and all the sailors are so scared. They're praying to all their gods. And it's an all God on deck situation. So they wake up Jonah. Jonah, is your God going to do anything? Because our God is doing nothing right now. Isn't that an amazing image of what God sometimes does to the church? That God will use the world around us to wake us up, to shake us up, to say, hey, there's actually a storm going on out here. And we're like, well, I'm quite cozy and asleep in the boat. But there is a storm out there. And God will use the world to shake up the church, to pray, to rebuke us, to make us aware that there might be a different reality than our comfortable, cozy reality. And so Jonah goes to the sailors and says, sorry, guys, this is actually my fault. And they're like, we heard you were running, so this is your God right now. And he's like, yeah, solution is you throw me over the boat and it'll be fine. You can just tell Jonah's like, I'm done. Maybe this will make it all stop. Like, this will mean I don't have to go to Nineveh. And the sailors, they believe in God more than Jonah does. So they sail because they don't actually want to murder this man. So they keep on rowing and pushing, and the storm gets fierce and fierce, and they say, okay, Jonah, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go. And the sailors have this moment of repentance, of turning back. They say to God, like, we are sorry, we confess, we come to you. And I don't know if Jonah can swim, I don't know the schematics of this moment, but eventually a fish swallows him up, and I know the questions, how do you survive in a fish for 3 days? I don't know. Kind of funny, though. Out of all the things God could have done, he could have miraculously provided, boom, just jetted him out of the water straight away. He goes, no, I'm going to give Jonah some time. So he's in the fish for 3 days and he prays. And maybe the fish is allergic to praying, I don't know. Spits him up, he's vomited out. God commands him to be vomited out of the fish. Look at that. Imagine the fish be like, well, you're God. And Jonah's like, did I hear that prayer right? Like, what's happening? Boom, he's out. And he's covered and he's muck and he's slime. And then we get to Jonah chapter 3. And when we get to this verse, Jazz read it, and we all went, that's good, and we kept on moving. But this opening verse is so powerful. And our senior pastor, Jonathan, said last week that the last verse of the last chapter was the best in this bit, but I'm going to argue that this one's even more powerful because it sets up from where we were last week. Because what happens, and this should get some sort of response. This shouldn't just get like, yeah, that's good, Nick. No, no, like, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Can you say a second time? Okay. That sounded all right. Let's keep on moving. Aren't you thankful for a second time? Aren't you thankful for a second chance? Aren't you thankful that the mercy of God comes to you time and time again? Because I know I am. And this image, when it says the word of the Lord came to him a second time, this is not God being like, okay, this is your last chance. This is an image, a metaphor that God will keep on coming to Jonah, as we see, and that God comes to us more than two times, that the word of the Lord came to Nick Patsellis because he's stubborn 1,000 times in one day, and the word of the Lord comes to you 692 times. The word of the Lord is relentless, as our God is relentless. It's a figure of speech. It keeps on coming to him time and time again. And this passage, it hinges, Because the word comes to him again, go to Nineveh, preach that I'm coming for them. And we just wait, what is Jonah going to do? Because what God says to Jonah isn't what we would say to Jonah. If we were God, we would have gone to Jonah and be like, hey, how is that fish? We kind of would have reminded him what had just happened. We would have said, hey, how's running going for you? We would have had some sort of zinger locked in the pipeline. Let's say this to him, because maybe he hasn't learnt yet. But God believes in Jonah enough that he just comes to him and says, go. And Jonah this time hears and he obeys. He hears and he obeys. And he goes to Nineveh and he walks to Nineveh. This would have taken such a long time. And he gets there. And did you hear the message he brought to them? It's 5 words in Hebrew. He goes to them and he says these words. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That's the message. No, like, cute intro story about how he had a cat one day. Like, this is it. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And what's amazing is people actually listen to it. They repent. They turn to God. And we think, like, surely, Jonah, you could have come up with a better sermon than that. Like, you've had a long walk. This has been a long journey to get to this point. And this is all he says. There's no mention of God. There's no mention of repentance. There's no altar call. There's no chance to respond. It's just, you're done. See ya. And he keeps on walking. And what we find is that from the lowest to the highest, they all repent. They hear this message, and it's a miracle. They actually repent. That when the warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, clothed himself in sackcloth and sat down in the dust, has this real posture of, I'm taking this really seriously. And then they decree to the whole nation, okay, let no one eat right now. Animals, herds, flocks, people even. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people be covered and animals be covered in sackcloth. Let us call sackcloth. Let us call on the Lord urgently. Let's give up. And this tells us what the particular sin of Nineveh is. Let's give up our evil ways and our violence.
Who knows?
God might relent and have compassion on us. There's so many sins that we could talk about.
What we find is Nineveh's sin is a sin of violence. And we know that in our hearts there is also violence. That we may think, oh, we're beyond that. But
is our day and age not just as barbaric? We see war in our world and we think, oh, well, that's not here in our homes. But there is so much violence. And isn't that such an act against the character of God, that we would hurt one another? And that's not just physically, this can be words, this can be multiple things that we do that tear one another apart. And Nineveh goes, hey, we've got to stop this. We've got to turn from our violence and we've got to turn to God. Maybe he will relent. And so there's two acts of repentance in this. There's Jonah and there's Nineveh. I want to focus on them both and separately. And the first one is this, that the repentance for Jonah is greater than his feelings. That the repentance for Jonah is so much greater than his feelings. Because what we read through this whole story is, he doesn't want to do this, does he? When God says, go to Nineveh, he says no. When he walks to Nineveh, he gives a message which, quite frankly, it sucks. Like, it's got no way to respond. It doesn't actually invite them into the kingdom of God. It just says you're done. He doesn't want this, but he does it still. And God can use even a prophet who's reluctant, who obeys, to turn a nation. Because we have to think about Jonah. He gets spat up, and different commentaries will say that either it's 500 to 900 miles that he has to walk to Nineveh. So that's the difference between us walking from here to Melbourne or here to Sydney. That's a long walk, isn't it? That's not a quick walk. That's a walk that at every step along the way, Jonah could go, you know what? I don't actually want to do this. But yet he keeps on going. He keeps on walking. And the truth that we find for Noah is that the truth for us is that repentance has to go deeper in our feelings, because sometimes we just won't want to do it. And we'll deceive ourselves and go, oh, my feelings are right, so maybe this is okay what I'm doing. Don't we do that sometimes? We have this feeling, we're like, oh, surely God wouldn't want me to feel this way. So it must be okay what I'm doing. Which even as I say that doesn't make sense, but we trick ourselves. I trick myself. And repentance, turning, going from the path has to go deeper in our feelings because it's right. And in my last placement, at one point I found, you know, decades worth of the newsletter, you know, going through the server trying to find something for me, but I found decades of the newsletter. And I thought, ooh, this looks interesting. So I went through 50, 60 years of the church's gossip, but also, you know, morning tea roster. But there was one thing that really stood out to me, and it was stark, that there was this little box week after week, and it was the mowing roster. And week after week, I saw the same 6 to 8 men's names on that mowing roster for like 50, 60 years. And it stirred me because often we will spiritualize things and be like, oh, I don't have the spiritual gift of cleaning, as if you need the spiritual gift of cleaning, you know. I'm pretty certain that for some of these guys, there were days they woke up and went, actually, I need to mow my lawn, let alone the church's lawn. And they did both. And repentance has to go deeper than our feelings. I'm not saying that the lawn mowing roster has to repent. But if we can't even do what we're supposed to do, how are we going to turn from what we shouldn't do? And I have a rule, which is a new rule, so you have to hold me on it. Because every night we get home, we do dinner, we do the kids. I've got 2 kids. One is 2, almost 30, and the other is, 11 months, nearly 1, and breaking my heart. She's getting old. And the kids go down, and there's dishes in the sink. And I'm so tempted. Now, I'm not going to say this is like the worst sin in the world. I'm not doing violence or anything, but there's this moment, will I sit on the couch, or will I do the dishes? And I know this is just so inane, and some of you are like, why is he talking about the dishes? Because it starts here. Discipleship starts with the dishes. And the thing I say to myself is, they're not going to be easier in the morning. Because a part of me tricks myself, yeah, if you watch 3 hours of Seinfeld right now, the dishes will be much better in the morning. And they never are. Things get caked on there. You know, you're like, oh, I don't even know what this was. And I cooked it. And you're like, it's... And we do this sometimes with our spiritual life. We go, oh, it's not that bad. I'll deal with it tomorrow. It'll be easier tomorrow. And it rarely is. So Jonah repents in his own way. He goes beyond his feelings. And Nineveh's repentances, they go much deeper than their words. That they speak a big game. That they say, we've got to change things, and they actually do it. That not just the king, but the whole nation, even the animals. Imagine being a dog this day in Nineveh. What do you mean I'm dressing up in sackcloth? I can't eat? What did I do? I'm just a dog. I didn't murder any other dogs. Why? What's going on? They take this so seriously. They hear the call of God, and their repentance goes so much deeper than their words. It's so much greater than their words. The king creates a policy that no one's eating, so they do it. And I love this image that Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He says, if you board the wrong train, it's no use running along the corridor in the other direction. If you board the wrong train, it's no use running along the corridor in the other direction. We know this to be true, don't we? We think to ourselves, oh, this is not where I want my life to go, but I'll pedal backwards a little bit, but we're still on the train. And what we see with Nineveh is that their confession and their repentance moves from just words to actions, which it has to be for us too. Because it's so easy for us to confess and go, amen, and keep on going into it. It's so easy to say, oh, God, I confess my sin of being greedy, but then not actually change. It's so easy to say, I confess my sin of gossip, but this is really juicy what I found out, God. Surely this one's okay. And we may see this story, and we might be a bit suspicious. We might think, well, did they all really repent? This whole city, did they really do that? It's funny how we're suspicious of a whole town turning to God, but we're not suspicious of a whole town turning to violence, are we? Or to destruction? And what we see in our Bible is that the good news is that it won't just be Nineveh that repents, but the whole earth when it comes to the judgment seat, when it goes down before the throne of God, that there'll be every tribe, every tongue, and we believe that the whole world will come to God. Maybe our faith is too small when we pray just for our nation. And so my question, we've had images each week, and I thought to bring some shoes, because it's always good to have backups. Because what we see with Jonah and we see with Nineveh, and what we see with ourselves, is that our lives are headed in a direction. We are walking somewhere, bit by bit, step by step. And my question is, where are your feet taking you today? Are you heading where you want to go? Are you heading where God wants you to go? And if not, will you repent? Will you turn? Will you say, you know what, God, this is not where I should be? What's so powerful about Jonah's sermon, albeit so small, is it actually comes true. Because he says in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. But what he does, this word that he uses for overthrow, it actually has two meanings. One can mean you'll be destroyed, but it can also mean being transformed or changed. And isn't it such a powerful message? Because he says, 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. And they hear it so powerfully, they say, yes, we want to be changed, we want to be transformed, we will come to God. And the truth for us is that we will have our lives overthrown now when we submit to God, when we come to Him, when we accept His grace, His mercy, His kindness, or we'll be overthrown when we meet Him. When we come to the judgment seat, if we have racism in our heart, either we will make a choice right now, you know what? I need to change. I need to confess. I need to be how God would call me to be. Or when we get to the throne room of Christ and we see the King of Kings welcome every tribe and every tongue, that racism can't exist there. It will be overthrown either now or then, and we can take steps towards it today. If we've got this greed in our hearts, we can make a choice today and ask God to help us, because we can only do it in His strength. Overthrow it today, God. Change me, transform me, because when we get to the judgment seat and we're bringing greed and we see the one who would offer His whole life for us, how can we hold that? The one who loves us so much that He would offer Him would not hold anything back. How can we hold anything back? If we're harboring violence in our own heart and we come and see a king who is scarred, either it's overthrown then or it's overthrown now. So where are your feet taking you? And my encouragement at the end of this service will be, what are you going to do? Because right now I could say a prayer and leave some space and say, God, forgive us our sins. And we'd go, yes, God, forgive us our sins. But Nineveh goes from their words to their actions. So what will we change? Now, I've mentioned a few things, and maybe that's my list of things I need to sort out. But what's your list? Because this is an ongoing life of repentance that God calls us to. We're going to sing a new song now called Nineveh, which is a beautiful, powerful song which invites us into this story, but into our story. Because we are Nineveh. So would you join me? Let's pray. Our Lord God, help us be a people that turn to You even when we don't feel like it. And when we turn to You, You empower us to make a difference, that we actually change. And as we sing and as we worship and as we enter Your presence right now, Lord God, there will be cries of our heart that You would have mercy, that You would save. And we cling to the fact that You are the God who doesn't just come a second time or a third time, but keeps on coming to us with Your mission, with Your purpose, with Your grace and Your kindness. So would You make this a moment where we turn to You? For Your glory and our good, we pray in Your powerful name. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.